Hello, and welcome to an episode of Androids and Assets. And today we're covering the terribly titled 2018 Netflix movie, Anon. Because I guess they couldn't even finish the title.
Okay, so this was my question about the title. Was it short for anonymous? Or was it sort of that like archaic English word, anon? Like, I'll see you anon.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll see you shortly. Like, in a little while.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It could kind of be either.
Sure. All right. So the nebulously titled Anon from 2018 on Netflix, written and directed by Andrew Niccol. Andrew Niccol, you might recall him from such classics as The Truman Show. He also wrote actually a decent film called Good Kill, which is about starring Ethan Hawke, which is about drone pilots.
The Truman Show is not a decent?
I haven't seen it in such a long time. It's hard to. I just feel my perspective on it. I'm not going to come up. I'm not going to issue an evaluation. The Truman Show is a loved movie. The Truman Show is a much loved movie. Mm. Like, it's quite, you know, it's got a fan base, it's got a following.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, that's great.
I guess.
you've come out very strongly for it, so good. But he also directed a 2016 movie, I think, Good Kill, which is about a drone pilot. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of along the same time. So, and I think you can kind of see in and on, I guess. Do you want to summarize this movie for us?
Yeah,
maybe?
Quick summary.
Yeah, this tight thriller.
Tight thriller. Anon, it's a detective thriller movie. This is set in the near future in a world where everyone has biological implants in their brain, I guess.
Eyes.
And I don't even know if it's in their eyes. Anyway, but it captures all of your visual and your auditory inputs, as well as your vital signs. And all of that gets stored in a huge cloud, because that's a lot of data. That is a huge amount of data stored in a cloud called the ether. So the input system is called the mind's eye. That's what's capturing everything. And the ether is where everything is stored. Police officers
can just waltz right through there anytime they damn well please, it seems.
Yeah, complete access to the ether. And I think it sort of seems like they also act as judges, but that's a different. Let's keep this tight.
Yeah.
So they can access the ether to solve crimes and see anything that's happening. So they can go back and just see whatever's happened in any person's life at any time. They find out, though, that after a couple of murders have happened, that somebody or multiple somebodies have found a way to hack the mind's eye and the ether so that whatever images you're seeing, you might not actually be seeing. They could be overriding it with their own imagery for you. And when anybody goes into the ether to review, they may have replaced that.
Or just deleted it.
Or deleted it entirely. So it's not available. So they can either delete it or replace it. So it starts to have this uncertainty about,
what
we know
real?
These things are true because somebody has seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But did somebody actually see it? Mm-hmm. Or was it? Anyway, so.
Yeah. And these records are also quite valuable to people's lives. Like, they have, like, one of the things about Sal is his son died. And so he's, you know, it's a major stumbling block in his emotional recovery from his son's death. And he just obsesses about this. And then one of the ways he's psychologically tortured later on in the film is by having all this stuff destroyed from his record.
So some of the main characters here. Clive Owen plays Sal Freeland, a detective. Amanda Seyfried is a fixer that he hires.
Anon.
She's the girl. Like, no one knows her name, but she can be hired to erase things out of your past record.
She's also referred to as that bitch in the movie quite a bit, which is upsetting.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Colm Feore plays another detective that works with Sal Freeland. And Cyrus Freer is a tech that they brought in to help them, like, navigate through the ether and the mind's eye. He's supposed to be good.
He's a hacker for the police. So what happens?
So they're investigating a murder.
Yeah.
And eventually they solve it.
I will warn you. This review might not contain spoilers.
So far, I don't think I've spoiled anything.
No, I don't think so.
It, wow.
Will contain spoilers for the 2018 movie Anon.
Yes. So what we find out is that so Sal, in the course of trying to solve this crime, they think, oh, I know who did it. There's a girl that I saw on the street and she erased herself from my memory. So I bet you she's the person that is also the killer.
I ran into someone on the street today. Therefore, they must somehow be involved with this incredibly significant criminal
case. I mean, yeah, it, like, it is a huge leap of logic, but it's also that he saw her and then he went back to review who she was, because when he saw her, everyone that you see on the street, everyone you see, their name,
their face, or at least he can,
age, and their, no, everyone has it.
Okay.
Everyone's information about, like, basic tombstone information of name, age, and occupation is revealed to you. So he's walking down the street and all of a sudden a person popped up that was unknown, which just sort of twigged in him. He was like, wait a minute, that's weird. So he went back later to review to see if he could find any records about her. And she'd actually erased herself from his memory and from the ether. Mm-hmm. So there was no way for him. So he was like, I bet you that girl who was unknown, who's like managed to hide herself from the ether, from our mind's eye system, is also the one going around killing people. Because so like it is a huge leap. But at least that's a kicking off point for their investigation.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I do hate that he's sort of is like, she's the guilty party.
I've decided. Yeah.
So now we just have to trap her.
Yeah. And there's really no subsequent investigation than like everything else. And there's we assume these people knew each other and had personal contact. Oh, they were all fucking, like, you know, like all this stuff. But like,
yeah, he's like having, I bet you what happened. All of these people before they died had just had sex. I bet you they had sex with her.
What?
That is a huge leap. Like that's just remarkable. But I guess that's what you get when you have police who don't actually do police work.
Yeah, they'd be really bad. They'd be really bad at it. Yeah, they would be. I mean, sure, if doing an investigation were just like, well, look at the tapes. Like, look at the police. Or, like, you would lose any sense of investigation.
So, Sal, I mean, it's kind of a funny thing, is that he actually has to create a memory that he wants erased.
Yeah. So he has to
he has to actually go out and do it. So he goes out and hires a prostitute.
Well, first he spends a month working at a bank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He actually spends a month and a half working at a bank.
So that they have, like, information.
Yeah.
Like, and he can, she'll look back over the
He has
month.
Memories of going to work in an office and looking at, like, stock projections and calling clients.
Yeah.
So she can go and look at that.
And that sort of is, like, a lot of dedication.
That's a huge commitment. This is a very expensive proposition for this police department.
Yeah.
But it is like,
just stops being a detective for a month, goes completely deep undercover.
I mean, there are like 6 or 8 bodies at the end of it. So it's like a lot of people have died.
Yeah.
For a society that's really not used to having repeat offenders.
So he works for a month, then he hires a prostitute, and then like the next day goes on the web and is like, I need to hire somebody who can erase something out of my memory. And he says no to like 3 people who suggest. And then a new person comes on and is like, I can do it. Meet me here. No other information. He's like, oh, that's got to be her.
Yeah.
That's the one.
She shows up as Anon.
Yeah. That's her handle.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, it's just chat room. It's just because there's no handle. I think it's just.
Maybe.
It's,
I guess.
There's just nothing. She's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the way that they had a chat room was still interesting. Like, it doesn't come up with avatars or something, which would have been incredibly easy. Anyway, I don't have to point out design flaws in their fictional world.
How are people supposed to get their Pepes out there? Huh? How?
Exactly. So he hires this fixer, the girl. She comes in and is like, yep, I can erase things for you, no problem. He claims that he has a fiance that he doesn't want to have to, like, rewind his record for her. So he just wants it to look like he was in his house doing nothing. And then she makes a comment about, like, wow, you do a lot of nothing in here. Like, you spend a lot of time doing nothing. So, like, it makes my job easy, but it's also
sad,
weird and sad. And where's your fiance? And then she
in Canada.
Like, oh, fiance, maybe you don't have one. Let's have sex. He comes on to her. She comes on to him. And then they have sex, which is exactly what he wants.
Which is most of what this movie is.
To kill her. To kill him, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, so it's like there's a lot of this where it's like setting things up of like, okay, we've got her. We got her right where we want her. But then she reviews part of his memory, comes across like a single glitch, finds out that he's actually like a cop and just like runs out of the room.
Yeah. I don't know how they could have this suspected murderer who they can't find any other way in their clutches on multiple occasions and never arrest her. Or bring her in for questions.
Yeah, because they have her, they have her in a room.
Yeah.
And he has sex with her, but doesn't arrest her at any point.
Yeah. They're just like, no, we're just going to let you go again.
So then, like, he has a shower. While he's in the shower, she's reviewing parts of his memory or something and comes across a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes, damn, I'm being played. runs into the next, like the next door room where there's another cop.
Well, no, leaves, and then the cop in the room next door gets killed.
Right.
Well, she doesn't. She didn't do it.
No, we find out later she didn't do it. But we, so he's in, Sal is in the shower, hears a gunshot, comes running out, finds another cop tech in the room beside him that was like surveying everything, monitoring the situation, dead. He's like, damn it, that girl killed again because we had her trapped. Why she didn't kill the detective doing this, well, I'm a little bit confused by.
They all should have died, because that's what, that's what, they're so dumb. They're just so dumb.
Like, it's really weird. So then, like, Sal, I don't know, at this point, I think they might have, they've gotten a new tech that was hired at the personal recommendation of the police commissioner. So he's supposed to be, like, a super whiz, and they basically go through the same thing again, where they're like, let's get the girl back a second time. Like, how are we going to do that? She already knows you're a cop. But they sort of convince her, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. This movie has some rather circuitous logic in sections. It's like, well, sure.
And then Sal just becomes like super consumed by this whole thing where he just like, he won't let it go. He thinks he can just solve the crime.
Yeah. Then he starts getting hacked.
Yeah, he starts having hacks where it's like, oh, now part of his memory got erased, so he doesn't have his son anymore, and he like that really cracked him up for a while. And then, like, anytime he tries to go to sleep, they're putting memories, or they're like playing loud sounds, or inserting things into his brain. Like, he can't, he can't sleep. He can't. Anytime like he tries to drive, they're inserting clips of like.
Things.
There's no, he'll show a road with no traffic. So he starts driving. There's actually traffic. And so he gets hit by cars. And
you shouldn't drive when your mind's eye is being hacked, brah.
Yeah. Like, that should have been a basic thing where he's like,
get an Uber.
Oh boy. Somebody else should be doing things for me. Like, I need a seeing eye person.
Yeah.
Somebody without a mind's eye installed. I need a fresh.
Yeah, that's true. Because then, oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into this.
So, so he's like, he knows he's being hacked. And then his other part, like his partner, other detective is like, look, man, you're just like going way too deep on this. We don't know that you're hacked. You keep saying you're hacked, but we don't
you
know.
You might just be a schizophrenic.
And so you're off the case. Like, give me your gun and your badge. You're off. So then Sal becomes like super sneaky and is like, he hangs out in his room and only looks in places where you can't see a reflection. And so, like, he basically disappears himself from anything that anybody would be able to see of him. So, because there's another cop stationed outside his house, like, watching his mind's eye. And so Sal, like, doesn't watch himself at all and then lays down on the bed and closes his eyes and then keeps his eyes closed as he gets up out of the bed, like,
goes
through his house,
comes
running out, and then opens his eyes just as he's about to punch the other cop in the face. So the other cop, like, sees himself all of a sudden and then, like, gets clocked.
Amazing. It's
kind of clever.
Amazing.
Super, super amazing, right? So he's like, if I'm being hacked, just don't trust my own eyes and just like kind of play it against other people. And then I guess he's like replaying things in his memory and he recognizes a building in one of the memories of somebody
else. Yeah, he figures out where Amanda Seyfried lives.
I know where the girl lives.
Yeah.
And so he like...
Because there's that scene where they like watch her, they get into her mind's eye for like one night and they just...
Oh, yeah.
There's that men all sitting at that long boardroom table all like watching her take a bath, through her own eyes. It's fucked up. We'll get to it.
She knew it was happening though.
But yeah, well, anyway.
Because the way that she behaved, she was like...
Yeah, she tipped him off and he goes to Amanda Seyfried's apartment.
Yeah.
And then... The confrontation.
So then all of a sudden, like, his mind's eye gets hacked. And he's, like, talking to the girl. And he's like, what's going on? You're going to kill me now.
I'm not going to kill you. I need you to bait the actual killer.
No, I'm not the killer. And then he gets shot. And he's like, oh, because when he sees that his mind eye is being hacked, most of the people freak out and are just like, oh, my God, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. He at least has some forewarning that when he's hacked, he'll only see himself.
He'll only see the murderer's eyes.
Yeah, so he sees through the murderer's eyes.
Yeah.
Which then really fucks you up because like you can't
defend yourself.
You can't defend. But
except he knows.
He knows it's going to happen. So as soon as it does, he sort of like flails around and based on like what he can see of himself, he kind of gets an idea of where the hacker is. Like if you have someone standing in front of you and you can only see them, it's like looking in a mirror. So you're like, oh, they must be right in front of me. So he does that.
Yeah. And then
ends up still getting shot, like in the gut or something like that.
But he lives.
But he lives.
Not between the
eyes. And it's enough.
Yeah.
And then we see that the killer was actually
Cyrus.
The hot new tech that was brought in. And he wasn't actually the commissioner's.
The commissioner's personal recommendation was hacked.
The commissioner was also hacked to give a personal recommendation. So he like hacked his way into a police job to cover his own tracks. And
because he's weirdly obsessed.
He loves the girl.
He's weirdly obsessed with Amanda Seyfried. Yeah, and was killing her lovers.
Because Amanda Seyfried would go in and erase things for these people. And then the killer would go in and kill them afterward. And he was like, well, I didn't want you to get caught. So, like, whenever you dealt with
somebody, I brought all of this tremendous amount of heat on you.
For you, so that they could never tell who you were. Which is, like, just a terrible...
Yeah, nuts. Nuts.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, but sure, he's a crazy person.
But he's fine. Crazy. And so then Sal is, like, laying on the floor, still bleeding out. The girl and Cyrus are kind of fighting. And then Sal aims, using the other guy's vision.
Yeah.
Because he still can't see himself. He's using Cyrus's vision. This is just like a feat of spatial reasoning.
And kills him.
Like manages to get his gun off the ground and kills him.
Yeah.
Which was just like incredible. And then everyone sort of gets exonerated. And the girl gives Sal his memories back and everything's happy. And what was the line at the end?
Well, he's saying, it says like, he asked her like, what do you have to hide? Like, why are you even doing this? Like, what do you have to hide? She says, it's not that I have something to hide. It's that I just don't have anything I want you to see.
Yeah.
But which is like, then that's the gotcha. Like, that's what this thing was about. That's supposed to be like, huh, makes you think, though. Makes you think.
Not that I want to hide.
It's just I don't want to show you things.
Okay.
I think it ends up, I think it's a true enough sentiment. I think, it is kind of the core essence of the movie that privacy has its own intrinsic value, human rights value. But it's just it's such a disappointing. It's just written so poorly for given the its location in the film and the profundity it's supposed to carry. You know, you're supposed to be like, okay, this. It fails to carry the load it's expected to lift, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So which is just unfortunate. And I think that kind of becomes then emblematic of the broader failure of this film across the board, I guess, in the sense that it's doing something that's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's engaging with a topic that's critically important and is trying to make, I think, a fundamentally progressive argument, but it just never gets there. It just never materializes into something that's cogent and insightful, and it doesn't connect to doesn't actually carry through on any of the threads, any of the persuasive threads. Like, it never actually delivers on like why privacy is important other than just some asinine sentiment.
I think there are parts, like there's individual parts of it that sort of highlight like why privacy is important, or maybe not why privacy is important,
how it can be abused,
but how state surveillance can be abused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And part of that is around like the police powers.
Yeah.
Like being able to just review anybody's life at any point without any seeming oversight,
mm-hmm.
Is like an incredible violation.
Yeah.
Just think of all of the private moments in your life.
Yeah.
That a police officer can just review
at any point
at a whim.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know that they're doing it.
Nope.
So you would also need to hire new police officers to review everything that any other police officer is reviewing.
Yes, because, that's the best part about the record. The record captures what you were watching. So at one point, like, Clive Owen is, like, looking at pictures of Amanda Seyfried while having sex with his girlfriend. Sal's character.
Yeah.
Clive Owen's character is watching... He's like reviewing stuff from work while he's having sex. And his girlfriend is like, send me your record. And it shows him having sex with her while watching this thing. And so basically, yes, you can't like this watch. You can have this ridiculous cascade of images of watching, like, watching people, watching things, watching. And just kind of going forever.
But I mean, every time that a cop accesses a record, mm-hmm. it should flag for like somebody else to review what they were watching.
Yeah.
And why.
Yes. Yeah, you should have.
Right?
You should
because,
need to
like,
have.
You could be like, oh, well, mm-hmm. I was just reviewing some people having sex because it was amateur porn, that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
But there seemed to be no oversight.
But also people like store, like, I mean, also all of the money in commerce is conducted through this system, through the ether. You literally see people's PIN codes because like a little screen appears and then like it gets punched and you can see it. You can actually see people's PIN codes.
Yeah, so through the record. So they have access. Presumably could access anybody's
their financials. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at one point we see Sal like arbitrating justice.
Yes.
A woman has come in and says, a crime was committed. My bracelet is missing. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, what do you think happened? Which is a ridiculous sort of question in this situation. But she says, I think the housekeeper took it because I left for the day. The housekeeper came in. When I came back, it was gone. And she says, I want to see the housekeeper. And so Sal shows her a 4-second clip of the housekeeper in the bathroom cleaning a mirror.
And the bracelet
and
is there.
She looks down and there's no bracelet. And the lady's like, well, that's where I left it. And Sal's like, there's no bracelet there. And the lady gets angry and leaves. But like,
I should have showed her 2 minutes before when she pocketed it.
Well, and then, like Sal's partner, like not partner, assistant, I don't know, some other guy who's in the room is like, but why didn't you show her what happened 2 minutes before that? And Sal, and then you see Sal review that himself, which is like kind of weird. So Sal must have reviewed this entire case already.
Yeah.
And knew everything that happened. The lady comes in and he has the audacity to ask her, like, what do you think happened here?
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel? Why are you reporting this crime? Because he already knows what happened.
Yeah.
Then his assistant is like, why didn't you show her 2 minutes before? And then they show Sal reviewing that. And it shows the housekeeper looking down, seeing the bracelet and pocketing it. So the housekeeper did steal it.
Yeah, but he.
But Sal hid that crime.
Yeah.
and then explains it to his assistant by saying like, oh, well, I could have showed you like 6 hours later when she pawned that to have enough food to pay for her dad to like go to the hospital or something. Mm. You're like, well, who are you to like mete out this overall justice?
Yeah.
That like regardless of the laws that exist.
Hey, Marsh, I think we can agree wealth redistribution is okay when it's done by paramilitary personnel without any broader civic oversight.
Yes. Like I'm all for stealing from the rich and giving to people who need it. Absolutely.
As long as it's done by
poverty is an unnecessary evil and we should eradicate it. I'm not okay with cops just randomly deciding which crimes will be punished and which will not. Because any amounts of bias are going to be amplified and magnified by this in a huge way.
Exponentially, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just not going to. Anytime a white person commits a crime, I'm going to hide it. And anytime a person of color commits a crime, I'm going to make sure that they get punished because I can. Mm-hmm. And there's no oversight.
Yeah.
And
I don't even have to,
like,
I don't have to disclose. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In
yeah.
this situation.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, that's just what the record says. Yeah. Like,
do they even go to court anymore?
I don't know. It's a valid.
It's super weird to me.
Well, then you have 13 days to appeal. If you fill out the 491-273-1.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like if she came back the next day and said, like,
no. Show me case. 2 minutes before. Like, oh, you got me.
Yeah. Or went to a different detective who didn't know that Sal had already.
Like, yeah.
Arbitrated this.
He's not writing this down. Yeah.
I don't know. Super weird. And I can see in that situation why, you know, like state surveillance is a problem. It doesn't necessarily say why the privacy is important.
Yeah.
It does say why the state shouldn't be able to view all of your intimate moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think the other way this movie kind of comes through and not necessarily in the way I think it wants to, but it's super male gazey.
Oh, incredible.
Right, so you get like a lot of like POV sex stuff. One of the murders is of a lesbian couple, but you know,
neither of them were out, and one of them was the daughter of a far right
Christian right senator. Yeah. So we know that still exists in the future.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, but you see that scene of these two women, these two scantily clad women who, you know, you see them kiss and then get murdered twice.
At least twice.
Maybe three. Yeah, you see it three times, I think, in that movie. Like this, it just really wants, it really wants you to see this.
And like the sex scene with Sal and the prostitute.
Yeah.
You see him also fondling her breast multiple times.
Yeah, it's like a POV thing.
But yeah, and then they do hack into the girl.
Yeah, and then Amanda Seyfried. Yeah, and there's like that voyeurism.
And like there's six men sitting at a boardroom table, like watching what she's doing. And ostensibly it's for clues. But I mean, she's just in her house. And then she like strips down for a bath.
Yeah, it's in front of a mirror at one point. And again, that is gratuitous.
And the whole time, like, that one is, I don't know, they almost try to frame it as being like tasteful because she knew it was happening. And so she was only giving them enough of a view to be tantalizing without being like super pornographic. I don't think that saves any.
It was
not a tasteful thing.
Yeah.
It was incredibly just like, let's show off a shapely woman for six men to just like,
yeah, and I don't even know to what extent it even really the film really even has a problem with that. You know, it's not saying this is what's wrong with the thing.
It was completely okay to surveil her.
Yeah,
because she was a suspect in a crime.
Yeah,
it was completely fine to just like watch.
Yeah,
not to just like. Because there's one thing between surveillance of like, I know she went into that house.
Yeah.
And I know when she'll leave that house and like watch her goings on and things. It's a completely different thing to like install spy cameras in her bathroom.
Yes. and watch her in the bath.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess it's interesting. The readings of this, is, I don't know, they saying like, you know, maybe it's about cinema itself. I don't know to what extent we can really pin it with the credentials of being subversive or not. But these are real issues, especially since like, and also not only can the police do this, but then evidently people with the technical acumen to access it can do this, right? Like, like just because you say only the police can do it.
Even,
yeah.
Presumably like, without even like hardware.
Yeah. This society is a huge liability and a tremendous amount of risk in this.
I'm not even sure how this society continues to function.
Yeah, how it just doesn't fucking tear itself apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Amanda Seyfried is not the only person who does this. Maybe she's like the best, but there are definitely lots of people who are like in the aether, making around the record, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And
even if you didn't have anybody who could,
mm-hmm.
imagine the society operating in an optimal way,
mm-hmm.
that there wasn't any way to actually manipulate the ether.
Mm-hmm.
How would you have any sort of like relationship with a person, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm late. Traffic was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
show me
your last 30 minutes. Show me the bad traffic.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was just you playing a computer game for too long, Dick. We're not friends anymore. Like,
yeah, yeah. These white lies are the fabric of society,
and now there's no way to actually keep them.
Yeah,
like
I mean, you would need to reassert the taboo that it would be taboo to ask for someone's record. Like, you need to trust them unless it's under certain circumstances. But that wouldn't happen. My God, I mean, can you imagine how crazy? Like if you were already a person who was like emotionally insecure about stuff, and you were like wanting to see people's records, like, you know, you constantly demanding that, and then if they didn't show it to you, you're not like. It could exacerbate mental illness quite severely. I mean, we actually see it being a real cause of Sal's depression, right? Because he's continuously reviewing the images of his son before his death, you know, just over and over and over again.
And you can like just like review it like it was yesterday.
So I mean, it kind of promotes this. The whole point of our memories is that, you know, things fade. And lose their visceralness so we can cope and compartmentalize and move on. That can't happen. you know, if you're, I mean, this is, we've already have a hard enough time with that with social media.
Yeah.
Which is, we're already seeing this being a huge issue. And then, oh my God, what's this social aspect? What's this aspect of people sharing their perspective with people? How does that work?
Because apparently you can at any time.
Yeah. I don't know how this place functions. Yeah. So it really
this world should just fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about people who can't afford to get these implants? Is it compulsory? Is it state subsidized? You know, like, I mean, where do these parts come from? How are they trafficked globally? How does this work state to state?
Yeah.
What happens if you travel? or maybe at this point, like the dead architecture and the economy is complete bifurcated. Like there's like a China sphere and a US sphere. Like everything's just completely separate in there. I mean, we're already seeing this with like the 5G network from Huawei, like this whole like
Huawei,
this whole Huawei thing, and like the fact that the State Department was always like security concerns about 5G because they're the only ones that make 5G and it's a China company. So it's already being like this.
They're not the only ones that make 5G.
Sorry, they're the cheapest and they're just the best at it.
They just aren't used very much in the United States.
Because they're like,
I'm niggling.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's like this whole issue of like, how does that work even then across state lines and things? And it's really interesting.
But like, I don't know, like if you walk into a store to buy something and all of a sudden the shopkeeper like knows who you are and your job, they can...
And you can assume like, that they are then also able to purchase some of your information, because I mean that happens. God knows that happens now. Even if they can't directly access the record, then through accessing metadata or adjacent like parallel information sources, just by tracking you, right? Like what happened to that mall? There was that mall that got in trouble because they had facial recognition that was tracking people. Yeah. Like this is happening now. God help us.
The movie, wasn't there also advertisements?
Yes, advertisements
specifically for people.
Yes, yeah. So basically, like actually, when you look at the whole world unaugmented, it's completely gray.
Right.
Like everything is this brutalist structure. It's these bare, empty streets. But then through the augmented realm, everything is like there are models who are actually wearing dark clothes.
Yeah.
But then the augmented reality covers them with like different fashion accessories,
right?
Like, in like store windows and stuff. Like it's like
So I don't know. Like it just doesn't seem realistic that a society could function with that much.
Yeah,
it's big secrets and some amount of like mystery.
Yeah, well, that some people, certain people of certain echelons, would get secrets,
right?
Because they could pay for it.
Yeah,
and everyone else could not have secrets. And that would lead to a huge that would exacerbate an already enormous power differential. And I think you're right when you say that a lot of things that would be the biggest, most problematic of this are not even to do with the police. They're just like, my God, how do you function day to day? How do you participate in commerce? It's supposed to be like, oh yeah, the record eliminates all crime. No, crime has only truly just begun, evidently, because now you have like...
Yeah, what other crimes would there be that...
And now you have crimes where people can actually directly influence each other's psyches.
Yeah.
Like, you have psychic... are you going to add, like, a line in the criminal code for psychic assault? Like, when they, like, make him, like, rewatch his son getting murdered over and over again? Like how do you classify that crime? What is that? It's fucked up. And this stuff is out there. Like, and this is the thing that I think we have to... I think there is, cybernetics are a huge problem for exactly this reason, because we're headed towards this huge, because we haven't had a real, like, William Gibson actually has a line in Neuromancer about, like, where, like, you know, he's hacking and he's, like, deploying all these programs. He's like, God help us if there was a real war between all these cyber powers, you know, like, if there was actually a war in cyberspace, because it would be hellish. Because we haven't seen this, you know, like, I mean, the closest we got was when Russia invaded Georgia. And I'm not even saying Russia did this because it's not confirmed. But like at that point in 2007, 2008, Georgia's government, the website for the government of Georgia went down.
Mm.
Some people say it was like not affiliated. It's not a GRU. It was just like a separate hacker. But who knows? But anyway, like that went down. But like that was, and that's kind of like widely credited with like the example of like cyber warfare. But oh my God, like if things actually went down, like it could be horrifying. And we don't have nearly the level of technology penetration that the society has.
No. And like, I don't know, there's a capitalism and the markets that we have right now function around some set of rules and everything. And there are things that we call market failures that we say, well, something like incomplete information is a market failure.
Sure.
Right? That if everyone had complete information, prices would normalize better, right? Yeah. But because you have incomplete information, that's why you can have some gas stations charging more than other gas stations, because you can't know simultaneously all of the prices of a gas station, right?
Yeah. Or have it be economical to drive from the expensive one to the cheaper one.
Like imperfect mobility and things like this, like... you might not actually save. But if you knew that like two blocks further, there was going to be a gas station that was cheaper, then you would go. But if you don't, So you're like, okay, well, I'll get gas here. And then later you kick yourself because you're like, oh, dang, I could have saved a dollar. You know, whatever. Like, it's a dollar. But you still have that sort of market failure where, like, in this world, you could see that being corrected, right?
Sure.
You would correct that particular
market failure, right? I think there are apps that specifically do that exact thing.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, there's, like, Gas Buddy now, but even that is still not, like, perfect. No. Where it's like, in this new world, you could just look at the gas station and it would be like, yes, this is the price, but...
Here's the price everywhere.
Like, this is too high. This price is too high.
Yeah. You could write an extension.
It would just know it.
Yeah.
So, like, you could sort of correct for that market failure and then prices might actually, you know, match in some ways. But sometimes that incomplete information is actually what, like, drives how the economy functions.
Yeah.
Where you have, like, arbitrage or you have somebody whose memory is just better than somebody else's. Yeah. And so it's like, I have more complete information than you have. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to get a better deal because my memory just worked better.
Sure.
And that's just like, that's, we call it a failure, but sometimes that's actually what like makes capitalism.
Whole function. Industries thrive on that.
Right.
On that, like, failure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or gaming that differential and gaming that lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you take that away and those economies will just like grind to a halt. Mm-hmm. And I could see like they still have this like veneer of capitalism in Anon, and I'm not sure that that would actually continue on in the same way.
Well, I don't know, because evidently people can obfuscate things quite well, and we don't know, it becomes this issue of like, yeah, what do you use this technology for, and how is it distributed, and in what ways, and who does it serve. And that's the thing. It could happen, but it could also be used to actually entrench and intentionally obfuscate these things.
So, I don't know. It's interesting, and it starts to question like what is the value of a memory?
Yeah.
How valuable are your memories?
Yeah. Well, how valuable is your particular point of view? And even if you have a crystal clear, perfect copy, what's the limitation of that? Because there's other points of views that construct reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of like, and again in the movie again. That's quite profound. The movie touches on it, does not, but briefly. Then kind of blows past, just, and that's the thing. All right, moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tits.
Yeah.
Choo, choo, choo. Next stop. On your left, you'll see a a nature, comment about the nature of intersubjectivity. Next stop, lesbians getting murdered after making out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hooray. I had more to that. No.
Yeah, so I like it. Just it starts to question some of what we value in our society now, and say, should we value that, or should we not value that, or do we value it too much?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, oh my God, like hackers would become the catch-all for everything. Like I work at a job, and the older people there, anytime anything goes wrong or they make a mistake, it's like, oh, the computer's just been crazy, you know. But if you actually had like malevolent hackers who were actively changing the system all the time, they would be, I mean, we have this with like Russia right now, and this is the Russiagate thing, like, oh, hackers made Trump, like hackers made America elect Trump, you know, like all these things. Hackers would become this catch-all explanation and scapegoat for everything in your society, and the powerful would certainly kind of get carte blanche because they would never
have sex with that prostitute.
Hackers. Yeah.
and put that memory in place.
Yeah. 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 And so I think what you would see is actually, I think you would get the opposite in transparency. You would actually get this tremendous.
Well, yeah. Once you relax that assumption of hack proof.
Yeah. Yeah. Once the veneer of that was removed, then it would just be nothing would betray more.
Yeah, like, yeah. And like then, you get, and then the value of what you can actually remember, like
exponentially
hardwired in
your brain, grow. Yeah.
Becomes incredibly valuable. Of like, no, that did not happen. Mm-hmm. I have a brain memory that like can't be changed.
By. With code.
With code.
With
code. I mean,
behavioral,
if ever that ended up in a courtroom and you were just bombarded with the recorded image, your memory would actually
rewrite itself
to become that recorded image.
Well, then we get to a broader thing about like, well, I mean, the brain is kind of just a computer anyway, and behavior is also a form of programming. But at least we can't, like, at least you have to, you know, do elaborate contrivances. and we know about that, and people know that about themselves and those sorts of things. It's not happening in a,
And to go back
running
to
running in a distributed cognition on a cloud somewhere.
To go back to sort of the Russian hacker thing, that's what the Russian hackers were doing, was hacking
essentially
not by hacking a computer, but by hacking our like hacking the American psyche by just like putting out enough lies or enough obfuscation or
whatever so that people, allegedly
like so that people okay a minute ago you were very keen on something being not allegedly and now it's allegedly because it's a point of view you don't agree with. Pick a lane.
No, I mean people were saying that
we know it happened. We know that there were
did it work?
Russian firms purchasing
ads on Facebook
and and other things.
We can agree that and happened.
Running large bot accounts. And we know that by having these farms and putting out that misinformation, you can rewrite people's understanding of the world. Those are facts.
Okay. Yeah.
Did that actually sway the outcome of the election? I don't know one way or the other. Okay. But we do know that it happened.
Yeah.
They made an attempt.
Ads were purchased. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Like they did attempt to obfuscate things.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what they were trying to do was hack people's brains by saying, here, read this thing that I want you to read enough that whether it's true or not doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You believe it because you've seen it so frequently.
Yeah. What a couple of decades ago would have just been called propaganda.
Right.
Is now hacking.
Well, yeah because it happened on a computer.
Yeah.
So it can't just be propaganda. Propaganda comes in a newspaper.
That's so low tech. Yeah.
No, exactly. Like they ran a sophisticated propaganda campaign. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fine. Ideally, we don't have states that are ostensibly allies running propaganda campaigns against each other.
They are not allies
all the time. I said ostensibly.
Ostensibly, yes.
Anyway,
were you thrilled?
Was I thrilled? Oof. There was some thrills. There were some thrills. Cheap thrills.
Cheap thrills. I mean, it was kind of fun to see his point of view being completely fucked with and being like, oh my God. I mean, the fact that you can close your eyes or sleep, that's a huge problem for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pretty major design flaw. You need a physical switch somewhere, like a subdermal physical switch. That you can turn it off. Like something, yeah. Like, I mean, oh my God, like at least like you need like, what's the totem from like Inception? Like when they know they're in the dream or not. You need something to ground you.
I think we talked about it briefly before, but the definition of dystopia and utopia is would you rather?
Okay, right? Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Would you rather live in that world? And if you would rather live in that world, we'll call it a utopia. And if you would rather not live in that world, we'll call it a dystopia.
Yeah.
So would you rather go to Anon? If you could live either the life you have now or a life in Anon?
No, I don't think I would.
No, I don't think so either. I'm going to class this one as a dystopia.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to play Doki Doki Literature Club with my life.
Beautiful.
Scariest thing in the world. Okay.
Super. So the 2018 Netflix film Anon, written and directed by Andrew Niccol. Dystopic movie. Maybe didn't hit. It was focused more on the thrill and less on exploring this crazy world that they set up. Yeah. You do not want it. You do not want that level of surveillance.
No.
It's going to be bad for everybody. No matter what.
Yeah.
Like there's very few positives that come out of this situation. Very, very few. Thanks very much for listening to our show and sticking with us through our discussion of Anon. If you have any feedback for us or you disagree with our thoughts or maybe you think, Foucault was wrong about panopticons, let us know. You can reach me at Marshall, MARSHALL, at androidsandassets.ca. I'm also on Twitter at Econoboid. Steven?
Yeah, you can. I'm Steve Droids on Twitter, with an S, the plural. Stay away from Steve Droid. That's a shit poster. See, I'm learning the lingo. And then you can email me at stevesteve@androidsandassets.ca. Alternatively, you can psychically message me by imagining.
Contact him through the ether.
Contact me through the ether. Send me a 10-second snippet of your life and I will find you.
Just take all parts of your life, disconnect them through an algorithm, just
distribute
and
them
hide them in everyone else's memories.
Yeah.
Something that's super helpful for us is if you can go on Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show. That helps other people find the show and helps show that this show has value.
Yeah.
And that people actually love listening to it.
Just discuss it on your Twitters.
Yeah.
Just discuss
share
it.
Share these episodes.
Yeah. On your Reddits and your something awfuls.
When you're getting together with your communist reading club.
Yeah.
Turn us on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would love for your communist reading club to listen
yes.
to our episode.